Welcome back to the Blessed Hunt Podcast. I'm Reed.
This is Sebi.
Thanks for tuning in, hanging out with us. Hopefully you listened to Bible study number 5 and Psalm 46. We are going to be, this is somewhat of a continuation. We want to start out with just a update on where we're at. It's deer season. What's been going on with you, Sebi?
Yeah, so I have only been out once, and you know, obviously I was ready to shoot anything, but it was more of a...
And it's October 8th as we're recording.
Yeah.
If it matters. But yeah, so we've had season. Ohio came in September, I think it was 27th or... Yeah, 27th, 28th.
Yeah, so a little bit over then, a week now for Ohio, yeah. And then Indiana started October 1st.
Yeah, so 1 week.
Yeah. So I've, let's see, I've only been out once, and it was more of a, just getting my setup dialed in, you know, working through the thing. So it actually worked out really well. I was very happy with, like, where I went and my setup, and I got rained out, which is fine, but it's, you know.
Yeah. It's early.
So yeah, it's early. I'm about to. And plus, too, the weather's been really warm.
It was warm, dude. But
it's been hot.
But
this week,
the cold front, we got like a 20 degree drop. Bro.
Yeah.
It's going to be down in the like upper 30s.
Yeah.
Which for October is prime.
Yeah. And the moon's going to be good. Yep. And the barometric pressure is also going to be good. Yep. So all. And then.
Dude,
some fields, a lot of fields are still, crops are still up. So I think this week's going to be good. Excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. What's good too is like a lot of them have been, probably 50% have been harvested. So it's,
it's a good time.
Next 4 days looks awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've been out 4 or 5 times, but you know, we hunt different. Like I'm mostly hunting private. And I almost exclusively hunting private land, and I hunt in Ohio, which you can bait, you know. So in Ohio, I'm running cameras and corn piles, and then Indiana, I'm hunting, like actually hunting and going in and trying to get on deer in a different kind of way. Like you can't bait or anything like that. So we're going in and hunting some funnels, and I missed, I missed a doe 3 times, as you know. Telling the listener, I missed one doe, 3 shots, all misses. So, she came in at one point, was at less than 3 yards, straight underneath of me, and drew back. And I was hunting a funnel on the tip of a ridge. Dude, the spot is just
money
for rut. Is
clearly is money,
dude. For rut, it's gonna be. Like just awesome. I mean, they're every tree going through this. It's 2 benches that meet on the tip of a ridge. There's a old tractor trail that comes down the ridge, and like kind of right at the very tip, there's 2 benches that meet that tractor trail.
Yeah,
and then on those 2 benches, there's 2-3 laid down trees
that
run from the bottom bench. Yeah. So
it
literally funnels all of them into one spot.
Yeah,
like if you're hunting it, if you hunt, it is awesome, dude. Like these deer have to walk through like a 20-yard gap. It's just, it is a rut funnel, deer funnel, like to the max. It's freaking sweet. And almost every tree that's in there has a rub.
Oh, I love
an
it.
Old rub on it.
Yeah.
There wasn't any new ones when I was in there.
I mean, it's historical.
Dude,
historical.
So, I mean, Anyway, so it's a prime time spot. But we went in there, got set up, went with my buddy Dill, and he ended up actually having a young buck come by him. He was only 10 foot off the ground and had a buck almost walk underneath of him.
Oh, wow.
It was smaller than what he wanted to shoot, but... We both had a deer at less than 10 feet.
Wow. That sounds like a great spot.
So I draw back, hit my anchor. She wheels because she sees me out of the corner of her eye. She wheels, jumps about 5 yards and quartering away. I mean, dude, this is the chip shot of all chip shots. I draw back.
That's what you train for.
Literally, dude, like I draw back, hit my anchor, work through my shot process, pull, pow, shot breaks, and I hit my friggin' harness with the bottom limb of my bow, and it threw the shot off probably 8 inches. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. She didn't even know what happened.
Yeah.
The one doe, so like I said, I shot three times. The one doe never moved. There's three does within.
So she just jumped around you, basically.
There's three does within 25 yards. They all came in together. And she, the one doe that was in the back, never heard any of the three shots.
Yeah.
Like, I worked on my bow and silenced it a bunch. It definitely worked.
Yeah.
But I shoot, like, barely gray, like, might have cut a hair off the front of her shoulder. Never, and it was a hard quartering away shot, so no injury, just clean miss. She bounds off. I figured her to be 25. She's more like 27, 28. Draw back, hit my anchor. In my mind, I'm like, oh, she's gonna drop because she's already tuned up.
Yeah. She's already on edge.
Shot breaks. Doesn't move.
Yeah.
Literally doesn't move at all. And because I'm shooting a recurve, so my bow's slower. So I shot probably 4 to 6 inches below her chest.
Yeah.
I was figuring she's going to drop a good bit.
That's tough. That's tough. Yeah.
She doesn't move. And then I knock another arrow. She never moves. And dude, my mental at this point was,
you're probably frantic at this point.
The third shot was, I didn't pick my spot and I ended up plucking. Dude, I plucked the shot. So I collapsed and then expanded. And when the shot went off, dude, I mean, it was an awful, awful release. And I missed by like 4 feet and just smoked this tree.
Yeah.
Just pow, smoked this tree. And my buddy Dill, he heard it. He's like, dude, I heard you shoot that tree. And what's funny is I shoot a Luminox.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like a landing strip coming down this trail with all the freaking, oh my, dude, it's so funny. But anyway, so had that. And then I've got some bucks that I've been chasing on some of my private land places in Ohio. I have a really, really nice buck that showed up and went there after him. Hunted in the rain twice in the past couple days, which has been super fun.
Yeah, they move in the rain.
100%, dude.
Yeah, it's a myth. People think that they don't move in the rain. That's totally not true.
Especially public, man. I really feel like they move really, really good.
They live in the rain, so it's like, it's not like they're going to go inside when it rains.
Dude, my uncle and I, when we used to waterfowl hunt a lot. He still waterfowl hunts a lot, but when it would rain, we would look at each other and we had a little saying, like, the good news is the ducks are waterproof.
Yep.
So we go hunt in the rain anyways. The deer waterproof. They're okay. They're still out there. Oh, man. Yeah.
So it's exciting, man. We're, you know, getting back out there and
it feels good.
Hopefully take our chances and, you know, harvest something good. But clearly, because this podcast is coming from Reed's time with God on the tree while hunting.
We're
hunting after God,
dude.
Which is I spent my wife asked me like how my first, you know, my first and only hunt went so far, and I'm like, honestly, it went really well, and I spent a ton of time just praying and talking to God, and I felt like, and I even told God, I was like, I don't even care about killing anything today.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is going to be my sacrifice to you. Like, this is my first time, day. Yeah. And then this is like, I'm just going to like focus on you
and give you
the first hunt.
How cool.
And I'm just going to pray and like, give you the season basically. So it was like the first fruits of my labor. Like, like, this is for you. And I want to start this right. And I just want to pray and praise you and just, you know, just kind of give this to you. So, and honestly, it was so great. Cool. It was a great hunt.
That's so cool. Yeah.
It was a great hunt. Even if I didn't harvest, you know, cause a lot of times, like we've explained this already in the podcast, like, what God does in me when I'm hunting is far greater than harvesting deer.
I'm
pursuing wild game, big game, but I'm pursuing God first and foremost.
Mm.
And if on that account, I was successful.
Mm. Dude, that's awesome. So, I would say I've been the exact same. We haven't killed anything yet. I've been taking my father-in-law out hunting, and it's so cool, dude. He's in his 60s. Olivia and I bought him a bow last year. He took a year of practice. He never shot a bow before in his life. You know, as far as like actually, you know, I'm sure at some point he picked one up and flung an arrow or two, or, you know, like as a kid or, you know. But to see him like dive all the way in on something brand new at that age is so cool. And he shoots, you know, all the time, and that is a bonding time for all of, you know, for Olivia and I and with him, and it's just incredible. But taking him hunting, dude, I've learned so much about helping new hunters by...
Bro, it's crazy.
There's so many things that I take for granted because of the way I was raised in the woods. You know what I mean? But things like movement and stuff like that, that, you know, we've been working through with him. And that's so funny. He's literally calling me right now. Like, yo, your ear's burning. You want to be on the pod, dude? That's hilarious. That's funny how that works. But so just noticing little things, dude, like, you know, growing up, I just very vividly remember my dad and my grandpa and my brother and all these guys that were helping me, like, you know, look with your eyes, not your head, like things like that. And just things that I've taken for granted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But just imagine his first harvest.
Oh, dude, it's going to be insanity. Yeah. I'm going to lose my mind.
It's going to be awesome. Couple years, and even this year too, I've honestly focused a lot of time and efforts into teaching people that have been wanting to hunt for a long time. Wow. You know, not just teaching them, but also like hoping to, you know, just pursue something together and just making each other better, right? Mm. And I'll tell you right now, man, I have never celebrated harvesting deer as much as I have when it's one of theirs. Not even mine. Like, I obviously I'm happy and thankful, but like, I'm chill. When a buddy gets one,
bro,
I lose my mind. I celebrate theirs more than I do mine. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be something to do with, you know, because you're pouring into them, you know, time and effort. And it's not that it's not about you, the helper, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I think there's something to that when you kind of see the fruits of that labor because you're spending time with them and helping them. And it's so cool. And I just know that if somebody ends up out in the woods hunting or even just archery, it is an avenue to God.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh man, I think the it's like a moment in your life that you'll never forget again.
Oh,
and like a milestone. Even with God and our walk with Jesus, like there's certain like moments or pillars that when life gets tough, and when there's chaos or when things happen, you have things to grab onto. You have steps, or you have a foothold or a handhold where you can just like grab onto. And I think killing a deer with the right mindset, with the right attitude, you know, honestly, with honor and being ethical, that is something that will change your life.
Absolutely. And so, no, there's something. There is just something about... because we have to eat to live, and killing something, it sounds rough, you know what I mean, to somebody maybe that doesn't hunt, but most people eat meat of some kind, and you know, it takes, something has to die for us to live.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously Jesus died so we can live eternally
forever.
But we've talked about that before, but yeah. Anyways, I like you, my hunts so far have just been really incredible time with God. I bring a tiny little New Testament pocket Bible with me. Mm-hmm. It's got Psalms and Proverbs in it. If y'all want to just do one thing, you can order. I was just looking on Amazon the other day. They're $3. You can stick that in your pocket, put it in your bino harness, you name it. And if you read one verse while you're out there, it will change your entire hunt, your entire season, and it would be something I would suggest to anybody that is going out into the woods, whether it's hunting, fishing, you name it, anytime. I even carry it now with me. It's next to my knife. I put it in my pocket, take off. Yep. So, yeah, get you a little pocket Bible. Yeah, and like I said, I just do the New Testament one. It makes it really small to shove in my pocket. But anyways. Let's get into Psalm 46, man.
Yeah, so we We went through Psalm 46 on our short
Bible format. Bible study number 5. Yep.
But we wanted to kind of dive into it a little bit more. We also tried being careful that we wouldn't. It's just a really good topic and something that God is working in both Reed and I
absolutely
right now. So we were trying to be very diligent about, you know, not going over on the Bible study.
Yeah.
But we
were running over on time.
We're gonna just, you know, lay it out some more and allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of, you know, flesh it out basically.
Absolutely.
If you want to start, read with a reading Psalm 46.
Yeah, I got it. Let's do this. I'm gonna read the entirety of Psalm 46 and starts with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Powerful.
Dude. That whole, yeah. Yeah. I just, Psalm 46 for me, man, is just, in times of trouble, I come. This is a fairly new, honestly, passage for me.
For you?
Yeah, I've always, when you know, I know you and I are going to dive in on our into our stories and go into our stories of the anxiety we've dealt with in the past or present or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And I used to cite Psalm 23. I mean, I know that verse. You know, but there's a verse that says, write these words in our heart, yeah, right? Psalm 23 for me, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I used to run, I would go on runs and literally just the entire run say Psalm 23. And I used to be scared of the dark, which as a hunter is a little bit rough.
Yeah.
But like legit, dude, used to be, I'm talking 2 years. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like fairly afraid of the dark. And I used to live down in the city and there's this trail you can run. And I would force my, I was listening to Dave Goggins and all these things, right? And made myself go run in the dark on this trail with no headlamp. Literally, I wouldn't take my phone. My whole thing was I'm only going to rely on God and nothing else.
Overcome.
And dude, there's this one section. There's the trails, you know, it's a paved trail. It's really nice, but it's 5 or 6 feet wide. On either side, the woods were only like 2 or 3 feet on either side, and it's so thick on each side, it's impenetrable. You cannot see through it. So when you would be going through that, it felt like something could just grab you at any moment.
Yeah.
And through that, man, I got really, I felt just like I was, we talked about earlier, putting arrows in my quiver. Weapons against anxiety and fear. Yeah. And I would just,
you're training your mind and your body
100% and changing, you know, my thought process and the renewal of my mind was happening through the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus. And when I would go on these runs, dude, I'm telling you, the first couple ones, like everything inside of my body was like, Reed, you got to get out,
yeah,
run. You know, it was like the subtle anxiety that we feel, this was like the most maxed out, but I was forcing myself to go experience it. So that way I had to face it. Right. And, man, I would just repeat Psalm 23 out loud. I mean, if you were somebody chilling in the woods and saw me come running by, you'd be like, bro, this dude is lost his mind.
But you were in the battle. You were facing anxiety head on with Jesus.
Bro.
Yeah.
There's no other way. There's no other way to try to battle these things, these evil attacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Reed was texting me a little bit. We were talking while he was on it. Actually, we were both hunting.
Yep.
And, you know, he just brought up that God was like talking to him about Psalm 46 and anxiety. And God confirmed with me too that, you know, that's something that he definitely wanted us to talk about. So if you don't already know, today's topic is anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
And anxiety, worrying,
fear. Yeah, I want to say again. I said it in the Bible study, or we talked about it in Bible study number 5. But I want to say again, in the Bible, there are 365 times God says, "Do not be afraid." It is the most common phrase in the whole Bible. Do not be afraid. It is important. There is a reason that he says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Cast your worries onto me. God says all these things.
Yeah.
It's so important. It, obviously, we have this whole big Bible, and it says that the most. So yeah. I just wanted to say that again.
So it's obvious that, you know, this is dealing with anxiety, dealing with fear, dealing with doubt or chaos is not new to us, or like the 21st
century. Right.
So when Reed brought it up, I was like, man, like, I just felt like this podcast was going to be very vulnerable, and it was going to be raw, and it was going to
it's real,
you
man.
Know, we were just going to have to open up so that the Holy Spirit could do work in people. So I texted Reed. I think I was like, hey, man, this is what it's going to be. You better hold on to your britches.
Hold on to your britches, bro. Hold on to your britches. So it's going to get real. And I was like, dude, yeah. I'm cinching my belt up tight, man.
We're going to basically talk a little bit about this verse, or rather this chapter, Psalm 46, yep. And then break it down, and then even give you some verses and passages you know, how to attack this, how to deal with it, you know, call to action type.
Yeah, things. And what it even is, also want to say, like, y'all, Sebi and I are not psychologists. We're not preachers, or, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't been to theological school, or, you know, like, we are trying to refer to the Holy Spirit and have pour through us. Yeah. We try our very best to not bring forth things that are from us, from our fleshly body, but from God only through us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I just want people to know that.
Scripture-based and the work of the Holy Spirit.
And hear our words and the things that we say, but then please refer to the Holy Spirit for conviction and for guidance. Right? And don't... The things, we are just humans. You know, we are broken, just like anybody who's listening to this.
Yeah.
And we'll say things that are probably wrong at some point. Like, that, not even probably. That's going to happen. We're going to say something that's incorrect at some point. And just please refer to the Holy Spirit as your guide. You know
what
I mean?
That's why it's important for us to always just, everything that we do, try to do it scripture based, so from the Bible.
We're trying to not bring things to you that are not just a literal Bible verse, because if it comes from us, we might mess it up.
I have been, you know, at different times in my life and different seasons, dealt with a lot of anxiety, and when Reed brought this up, it's great timing, actually, because I am in a season of life right now where I have faced a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. You know, And just as a reminder for people, married, 4 kids, full-time work, in a emergency room, a hospital, and then I do night shift, which also kind of messes with my sleep schedule or my circadian rhythm. And then I just started graduate school, nurse practitioner school. So I don't think I've ever been this busy. And I've said before, oh, I'm really busy. No. Like, I am busy. Like, I around the clock, I'm busy. And I was feeling very, very overwhelmed and very, very just almost like it was hard to breathe at times. So, bro, I'm going to break down the first couple of verses from Psalm 46, and I'm going to make it relatable to some of the things that I felt and some of the things that maybe you can relate to, how maybe you can feel. Okay, so in Psalm verse 2, it says that, therefore we will not fear though the earth give way. Those few words, though the earth give way, in my mind reminded me, and it made me feel like at times where I felt that I was standing on quicksand, and the earth was just being pulled out from under me. So, you know, anxiety at times can and has made me feel like I am sinking and I can't get out. And it's that feeling, whether, you know, whatever it is that you're being anxious or being, you know, you're worrying about, is that feeling of you're trying to stop yourself from sinking, from just like going down into the sand. And the more you try to pull or try to jump out of, the more you sink.
For sure. For sure.
And then the next one is on the same verse 2, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. That makes me feel like the mountain is falling into the sea, so the sea is drowning the mountain.
Yeah, right.
So
right,
that
right.
sensation, that feeling of, as you're dealing with all these things, that sensation that the water is getting higher and higher and higher, and now is up to your neck.
Yeah, you're gasping.
And now is up to your chin. And you're trying to swim, and you're putting your facing up so that you can breathe, but you have that feeling that's overwhelming of drowning.
Dude.
And then in verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging,
but
that is the chaos. That is that is like a storm that will not stop.
Yep.
And an earthquake that shakes everything in its path and destroys everything. Mm. So that sensation of chaos, of craziness, of when is the storm going to stop? When is the earthquake going to stop shaking? That sensation. So those are all feelings and thoughts that I've had recently. It was overwhelming. And you know, with school and how much responsibility I feel like it's on my shoulders because my family depends on me. And with my kids getting older and the weight of the responsibility of raising whole, healthy, Bible loving, Jesus loving children to send out into the world, as well as protecting them and keeping them safe. And then, you know, taking care of people at work nonstop. And then having to take care, you know, help my family, my wife's family, and just it's a lot.
It is a lot, bro.
And there was one moment, or especially when the school semester started a few weeks ago, where I just felt almost like chest pain, like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't physical, right? So I didn't actually breathing fast or have actual chest pain, but it felt hard to breathe. And you know, this verse hit me hard. Actual
physical manifestation.
Man. Yeah, yeah. And I have been here before.
Yeah.
And I knew right away, I was like, I got to run to God.
Yeah.
I got to run to God.
Bro.
Hold on. Give me a sec.
No, you're good, bro. You're good. That's awesome. It's real.
Because I've been here before.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been here before,
dude,
you're gonna.
That first time is so scary.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Keep going, bro. Keep going.
But you have to run to God. We have to run to God, no matter if it's small or big. And if you have the presence of mind to catch it early on or to don't let it get to this point, even better.
Bro,
but sometimes life doesn't warn you sometimes, and the enemy's always out to lie, to sneaky, destroy,
to
start these vicious cycles.
Yep.
But either way, whether it's you catch it early on, or something crazy happens, like a traumatic event, or something just changes like suddenly, we have to run to God.
Absolutely, man. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
If you want to talk about the good news.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, dude. In verse 4, so all of what Sebi just explained, the good news starts in verse 4. And I'm gonna go from 4 and I'll finish out through here. And so verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You know, this is telling us, fix our eye, turn to him, run to God. He's waiting for you. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Again, things will fail. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fail. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We talked about in the Bible study, God with us, Emmanuel, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields. God will demolish the weapons of the evil one. He says, be still and know that I am God. This is hitting me now, but God doesn't say to do very much, to be quite honest. He says, come to him, then be still, and know that I am God. He just says, just know him. And then I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Y'all can use Psalm 46 as a literal spiritual weapon. And like I was saying earlier, I like to use Psalm 23. I want to talk a little bit about my Sebi, you know, gave where you've dealt with anxiety in very recent times. I was in literally the worst place I've ever been in my life. It's been 2022. And was in a bad car accident, and then, and where the somebody died in the accident, and not somebody that was close to me, the person that hit us, you know, passed on to the next life. And seeing that, you know, I saw a young 18-year-old dead in their car. And really, and then also saw my best friend bleeding out of his face and every part of his body, and just was in like, you know, seeing just things we shouldn't see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then right after that, so that was April 17th, 2021. And then right after that, would have been August, like 28th, I gave plasma and passed out at the wheel on the way home. And prior to all this, I was smoking weed to deal with, you know, what I was feeling. And I didn't even, legit, dude, I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know I was even doing that. And I was just using it as like, oh, like, whatever, you know. But it was every day, and I was like, I was in it. And on the plane flight home after that, when I drove off the road and I was completely okay, God protected me. On the plane flight home, dude, I had my first panic attack I literally did not know what was happening. I had no clue. I thought anxiety was fake. I literally thought it was not real. And I was like, yeah, just don't do it. I mean, it's pretty easy. Like, so I had no clue. Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm driving to go work for my buddy, and I smoked that morning, and on my drive to work, have a panic attack while I'm driving, and this starts then just the decline. I literally, dude, was at the lowest place. I mean, like, having suicidal ideation, like, you name it, literally was at the bottom, and got all the way down to literally but rock bottom is a firm foundation. And I got to a place where I literally had nowhere to go but to turn to God, and started to go to I literally didn't leave. This will tell you how bad it was, dude. Like, I had a buck that was so kill. I had like a 150 inch buck on public land consistently in daylight. I would not go hunt. I couldn't. I was so anxious, so fearful, dude. I literally couldn't leave my apartment.
Were you crippled?
Literally, because I couldn't drive.
Yeah.
Once you can't drive, you're like, you're stuck, dude. You
can't go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I literally couldn't go anywhere at all. And, you know, I'm like, my wife had no idea what to do. Like, we're so young in, like, young in life, but also in our faith. You know what I mean? So we almost did. Like, I didn't know what to do, and I start working out, and that was helping, right? And then my buddies, I owe a lot to this woman. Shout out to Mama Jorge, also known as Lulu, but she started inviting Olivia and I to church. We started going to church, and dude, just God intervened. And
yeah,
slowly, it took like 6 months before I could drive on a friggin' highway, dude. I literally would only drive back roads. It was the craziest thing in the world. And just over time, God started showing, and we're going to get into how we can armor ourselves and you know, build up our armory. But in that moment, dude, I was just at the very bottom, turned to God, and he intervened, right? And that Psalm 23 was like the verse for me in that time. I would just repeat it over and over and over again. And what was so crazy, dude, is we were actually in church, and they were doing a, like, they called it Christmas or something at the movies, right? And it was this movie, and the guy that was in the movie was suicidal. And I had all these thoughts and ideas, and, like, I didn't want to, like, literally, I did not want to kill myself. I just wanted to do anything to make it stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it took that service at church when I finally turned to Olivia and it was like, hey, I need some help. And she was a, thank the Lord, you know, that I have her, but she was able to help me, and like the people that were around me started to help me. And I started, for me, dude, I felt so much shame. And I wanted to hide. I wanted to hide it all. You know what I mean? Like,
so this is something that we, and sorry to interrupt.
No, dude.
This is important for all of us to hear because this right here, and I was talking to my wife, Kelsey, about this. The enemy wants to do anything he can to lie, to distort, to get us in these places where we believe these lies that derail us. And so the enemy will tell you little things like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Hey, let that one slide. Yep. It's okay. Let that thought, it's not a big deal. It's not crippling. But it gets a hold of you, and these seeds, a little bit at a time, the vines start growing, and they get a hold of you, and you get to this place where you're spiraling down. Absolutely. And one of those things that the enemy does is it gets you to this place where you end up alone, or feeling like you're alone, or like isolation, or like you're guilty because of how you feel, or you no one really cares, no one understands, no one is going to help you, no one feels this way,
nobody's ever felt this way before,
all lies.
100%, bro,
that actually will make us continue to spiral down rely on ourselves.
Absolutely.
So be mindful of all those lies.
Yes, absolutely, dude. I dealt with that a lot, in the shame. Like, the best thing you can do, this is with anything. If you're feeling shame, that is not from God.
No.
God does not cast shame on us. That is from the evil one. So if you are feeling shame, take that as a note. I will tell y'all, the evil one and the evil spirits, they will show their hand. Always. And it's so obvious, right? Like, the Holy Spirit is much stronger within me, and I refer to the Holy Spirit much more now than I did then.
Right.
But now, I will see things like, oh my, dude. And before, you're like, how do you even miss that? You know what I mean? Like, the shame, like I said, because a lot of times
it's easy to see it now.
It's much easier
when you're in that moment,
especially when it's new.
Yeah,
dude. Especially when it's
extremely
new.
Hard to see, because that's what the enemy does.
Absolutely.
And like we were talking about, a lot of times the battle is in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard to see it, but the battle is always ongoing.
Yeah, all the time. We're always under spiritual attack all the time. Especially, I mean, the closer we get with God. I've definitely noticed, because a lot of times if you're running with the devil, it's already got you.
Yeah, if you're not seeking God or running towards God, like the enemy has
you're
you
just
where
out,
he wants.
You're just out
you're
in the world.
You're a non-issue.
Yeah.
But if you're actually trying to better yourself, seek God, be a good husband, be a good wife, be
for
a good
sure.
parent, you know, find disciples and share Jesus.
Yeah,
and share
do the
love,
things of God.
Then the enemy has.
Absolutely, bro.
You know, he doesn't want you. To be doing those things.
For sure.
So.
For sure. Yeah. Let's, but yeah, so I wanted to share, you know, we both shared, some of what we've dealt with, and just to relate to anybody listening, you know, it's real. These things are real, and it is true evil trying to take you down, but it cannot. These evil spirits have no power over us. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, when he was on that cross, he died for our sins and lived and died and was resurrected and defeated death. So the power is gone. There is no power. Only God deals with giving life. All the other powers, human powers, evils, they deal with death. God is the only one who gives life and wants to give us life to the full too. But I know you've got a verse for us.
Yeah. So even though it's chaotic and anxious and you're feeling overwhelmed, in Psalm 46, we see that and this is what I experienced too, like, I just knew I have to run to God. Mm-hmm. I have to run to God because this is taking me away from God. So from Psalm 46, the Lord, verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. Mm. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So God is with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to help you, and he wants to be our fortress.
Sebi, can I make a note real quick?
Yeah, of course.
So for me, a lot of times, you know, God has different names. You know, Jesus has, you know, Yahweh, or, you know, he's I Am.
Yeah.
He's just also Emmanuel, right? When I pray in these moments, I will say, Emmanuel, come help me.
Yeah.
Please, you're saying, because he tells us these things, right? So I will pray like, Emmanuel, I love you. Please help me. Like, you're God with us. I'm calling. You know, I love listening to Bryce Crawford. He talks a lot about his anxiety, and he says he'll go to God and be like, God, you promised me. Yeah. Like, you have promises to me in this book, and I am your son. Help me, please, this is what I please. Need like right I'm come to you, God. Yeah. Like he's our Father, and created us and loves us. We can go to. I think a lot of time I've experienced this where I'm like, I feel small, right? I'm like, or that God like almost doesn't want me, or
unimportant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like you were talking about, exactly. And we can go to God and be like, Lord, help me, please. Like the same way you would go to your dad if you're in trouble, you know, or somebody a mentor, you know, a fatherly type mentor that you may have, or whatever that figure is in your life. We can, you know, if you had. You're broken down on the side of the road. You're going to call your dad and be like, yo, I need some help. Like, please come help me. And I need you, or whatever it is, right? We can go to the God the same exact way, even more so. Like, Lord, I know your words in this book.
Yeah.
I know your holy words. Please, please, like, come help me. Come down and help me. Emmanuel, you are with us. I know you're with me. Please come help me. But anyways, I just wanted to add that in.
No, that's perfect, because that's another lie of the enemy, which says
God's not with you. God doesn't love you.
Doesn't care about those things. God, this is not that big of a deal. This is not important. The truth is that's
bro,
false. Bro. God does care. And
he created you.
Yeah.
He knew us before we were in the womb.
And the big picture to that is, if you believe all those little things, then that will keep you from going to God about all these things. And then next thing you know, these little things become big things, big which are now crippling you. Now you're isolated. Now you're feeling, you know, drowning or, you know, so go to God. And so going back to Psalm 46, The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 8, which I think is awesome. Come and see what the Lord has done. That is God telling us, hey, come and see what I can do. Come and see what I've done.
Yeah, come to me.
You know, if you have already dealt with anxiety or worries or you know, a breaking point, then you have something else to relate to or to grasp onto. So God is saying, come and see what I've done already. And if you haven't, then this is another way that you can overcome and have something that you can grasp onto. So come and see what the Lord has done. And I wanted to read from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I believe. Something that, you know, it's now we're getting into calls to action, or what to do, how to approach these things, right? When we're dealing with, when we're in these moments. Yep. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious. In every situation, through prayer and petition, with a thankful heart, come to God. Present your request to God. Speak to God. Seek Him. Talk to Him about how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Run to Jesus. Hmm. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind, your minds in Christ Jesus. If you've never experienced the peace of God, the peace of God, I pray that God will show it to you and let you experience that. Because just as it says here, that it transcends, it's far beyond all understanding. It can flood you. It can drown you. It could make you feel overwhelmed with His peace, with good things, so that it replaces anxiety.
Yeah.
So that it replaces that overwhelming worry, that fear. And it will guard your heart and your mind so that you are in Christ Jesus and have no place for these other feelings, these other lies from the enemy.
For sure. Yeah. I think it's hard sometimes when you're in it and you're fearful and anxious to come to God and say, thank you. Right? Something I've began to notice now, we must remember, nothing happens that God does not allow, right? Now we have free will, you know, things do, you know, people do bad things, evil things. And we must just know that there is a reason for what you are going through. You know, I have to tell myself that. And sometimes it's every 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Like when you're in the middle of like dealing with all these anxious feelings, it feels like you can't even make it one more minute. You know, I've felt that way before. But, we just have to, if we just turn to Him, you know, He will help us. I want to read Ephesians 6:11-18. This is how we arm ourselves, right? This is building up the armor of God. I'm actually going to read 10-18. So, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We must be in our Bibles.
Woo!
We must be reading the Holy Scriptures. We must be in here. These books are literal weapons against the evil one, right? And take the helmet of salvation, knowing we have eternity coming with God. We will be with Him forever. We can wear that as a protection, right? Knowing that. And I think it's so important that it says here, take the helmet, which is going to go over your head, over our mind, of salvation. Keep that at the, you know, at the front of our mind.
At the forefront, yeah.
Right? Like, we have eternal life with Jesus, with God. The sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sword. You know, that's what you're literally going to be slashing and jabbing this evil with, in the Holy Spirit through us, which is the Word of God.
That's powerful, man.
Dude.
So, oh man, this is a passage that I go back to all the time, because, I mean, as it says here, we were talking about it, but it clearly also says here in verse 12, so Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then later on, it says, so that you can extinguish
all the flaming arrows
from the evil one. Yeah. So clearly, the enemy here is trying to, you know, whether
literally
he starts
shoot
it,
flaming yeah. arrows at us, right? I mean, that is real. It's yeah. so real.
It's crazy. And, you know, whether life has its own troubles and the enemy makes them worse, or the enemy is trying to, you know, derail us, like, that is what he wants to do. So, going to God, knowing that he is your fortress, that he loves you, running to God is extremely important. But that's a decision that you have to make. God says, come to me. See what I've done. I am your fortress, but we have to run to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's a little thing or a big thing, right? If you can manage to see or notice what's going on around you and you know, kind of extinguish these things before they become a problem, great. If you can't, if it's too much, if you get to a point where you maybe blow past all these little warning signs, this still applies to you too. So run to God.
Yeah.
Cover yourself up with his armor. Use the Word of God. So read the Bible, yep. recite the Bible, speak the Bible out loud.
Absolutely.
Listen to the Bible, because you're not only growing and edifying yourself, but as you speak these truths and as you make these statements and you profess these things out loud,
yeah.
the spiritual realm is being affected. And absolutely. So the Holy Spirit is doing work in you. You're renewing your mind. You are like you were, Reed, when you were yep. when you were running
yep.
and reading these verses and facing yep. that fear head on.
Absolutely.
You're training your mind. You're training your spirit to be conditioned for battle.
Absolutely.
Which is happening around us all the time.
Yep. We got to go to work.
And then one more thing that I wanted to touch on is you use the Word of God as your sword. Cuts through.
Absolutely.
God's Word never comes back empty.
No doubt.
So if you can use God's sure. Word and prayer and cut through all these things, then you can get past these things.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. I just feel I need to say, if you're listening and you've made it to this point and you have not given your life to Jesus, notice Sebi and I both have the Holy Spirit within us. Notice we did not say, look what I did and beat this anxiety. We don't have these powers are so hard to defeat on your own. But notice how easily God defeats them. The power of God rules over all of the evil and all of the anxiety and the fear. So what I'm wanting to say here is, if you do not know Jesus, you can give yourself to him right now. as you are listening. Just tell him, God, Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner, and I am turning to you. I am giving my life to you forever. I am yours. I am your son. I am your daughter. I give my life to you. Tell him these things. Get in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, reach out to Sebby and I.
We'll send you one.
We will absolutely send you one. But literally right now, come to Jesus. Please, he will help. I promise you, he will help you. He has defeated all of this evil. It's already done. We know the end. We know the end of all this. And I also want to encourage you, if you just gave your life to Jesus listening to this podcast, we are so excited for you. And we love you. Jesus loves you, more importantly. And please just reach out to us. We will help you any way that we possibly can. And we'll help you try to find a church or wherever you're at. But, you know, and encourage you to go get baptized and all of the amazing things, right? But we just want to encourage you that if you're dealing with this anxiety, dealing with this fear, turn to God, turn to Jesus. He will help you, I promise. He will take it away. He will take all of it away, like in the snap of a finger, like it's nothing, right? And it takes, it just takes literally turning your face to him. Repent, turn to him, and it is finished.
Yeah.
Right?
So run to God, read your Bible, which is powerful. Seek the Holy Spirit to help guide you. Surround yourself with people around you that are also fighting the same battle, because we're meant to live together and help each other out. Mm. If you don't have that, let us know.
Yeah,
we can try helping, you know, getting set up with a group of guys or a group of gals that can help you. So yeah, Bible studies are important. So local communities, your church,
no doubt,
small groups, whatever helps you. If you're a social media person, then that's also another way to network and connect with people. Absolutely. Which is one of my favorite things about social media. Yep. I have a love-hate relationship with social media, yeah. But that's one of the very good things about it, right? Because you can learn a lot. I've met some really good, really, really good friends I've met solely on social media. So that's another avenue.
Yep.
Just keep pursuing God, keep making progress towards your relationship with God. So reach out to us, please.
Absolutely.
We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to pray for you. If you have a prayer request or a special need, or you're going through something right now, you're not alone.
No.
Chances are we've gone through it, or we will go through it.
For sure.
Or somebody within our community has gone through it.
For sure.
The enemy likes to make us think that this is just happening to us, that we're strange, that this is unique, that, you know, no one else is dealing with this. And that's just not true. Reach out to us. We love you. Reed, will you pray for us?
Yeah, bro. All right. Y'all, let's go to God in prayer. Emmanuel, God with us, the great I am, Yahweh. We call out to you, Lord, and just say thank you. Thank you for for how good you are. No matter what you do, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship, and we love you. Lord, I want to pray for the person who just gave their life to you. We thank you. We thank you that you are all powerful. And Lord, I just pray that you would intervene in their life and chase after them and pull them so close to you, God, and hold them and protect them. Lord, I call out to you and just say thank you. Also, anybody who is listening, who is dealing with fear, anxiety, I demand through the power of the Holy Ghost that the anxiety and the fear, these evil spirits would leave you and never, ever come back and replace that space with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for what is already done. We thank you for Jesus defeating death forever. We love you. We thank you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening. We love y'all. See y'all next week.
See ya.